since So Mighty got a revival. Speak to our hearts. We are thirsting and hungering after you. You've done it over and over again. You have sent revival to the nations of the world. We pray that you would do it here again in Ponte Vedra Church, Lord, in this community, Lord. Oh, how we need you. This nation desperately needs you. Do it again, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Multitudes had traveled to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Harvest, a festival that was celebrated 7 weeks and one day after the first day of the Passover. Little did they know that that year they would have an extra harvest, a harvest of souls. Before his ascension, Jesus gave the disciples specific instructions. He told them to wait until they would receive the power from on high. And 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, 120 believers were gathered in the upper room in one accord, praying and waiting on the promise that Jesus had given them. Beloved, if we do not pray and desire a move of God in our midst, in our churches, in our communities, in our families, it will not happen. We have to desire it. We have to want it. We have to want it more than the air we breathe. Suddenly, a rushing mighty wind was heard. I imagine it sounded like a hurricane. I don't know, like a tornado, but even more powerful. It was the Holy Spirit descending upon his people, just as Jesus had promised. It filled not only the room where they were sitting, but the whole house. Tongues of fire came from heaven and rested upon them, because the operations of the Holy Spirit are many. That of speaking in diverse kinds of tongues is a sign that God wants to speak to every person of every nation. Fire is the symbol chosen by God as the emblem of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that God is a refiner fire. John the Baptist announced that Jesus was coming to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This supernatural, awesome event was and is to be an ongoing reality in the believer's life. It was never intended just for the 120 people that were in the upper room. As I stated last week, in Acts 2:39, we read that Peter boldly declared that day that the promise is unto you, unto your children, and unto all who are far, as many as desire or call on the name of the Lord. In other words, the Lord desires that all people be filled with his Holy Spirit. It's not an option for a believer to choose whether they want to be filled or not with the Holy Spirit. It should be the norm for every member of the body of Christ. In Ephesians 5:18, we read, or we are exhorted, and it says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The day we invite Jesus into our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. However, We need to come to him continually for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is a daily empowerment, a repeated experience that helps us overcome the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit so you do not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The Bible gives us basic principles to follow if we desire to be infilled every day of our lives by the Holy Spirit. Number one, John 15. Acknowledge our need for the presence of God daily in our lives. Jesus said, without me, you will do nothing. Number two, decide to walk in obedience to the word of God. John 14:15 and James 1:22. Do not just be hearers of my word, but be doers of my word. And number three, total dependence on the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:5. So one, acknowledge the need that we have of him. How desperately we need his presence and power in our life. Two, decide to walk in obedience to his word. And three, understand that we need to totally depend on the Holy Spirit. You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives, the change in us starts inside. Our vocabulary changes. We begin to speak the word of God and word of life to ourselves and to others. Praises are on our lips, and joy is in our hearts continually. We submit to one another respectfully, Ephesians 5:18-21. In other words, the character of Jesus Christ becomes a reality in us. This Pentecostal power transforms our lives and changes the church. Because remember, we are the church. It's not the building. It's not the steeple. That's not just a song that we sing from time to time. You and I are the church wherever we are. And the Holy Spirit uses us to impact others. A man was heard at a service praying, Holy Spirit, come on. We need you at this church. We need you so desperately, Holy Spirit, that I'm asking you to even come through the roof. I will pay for the broken tiles. May that be our prayer too. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit manifests his presence in the church, the minute the people walk into the church, if it's a church that is filled with prayer, people will sense the Spirit of the Lord in that place. Because one thing is to be a praying church, and another thing is to be a church that prays only when it's needed. There's a big difference. In the 19th century, Methodists were called the shouting Methodist because they had a fervent prayer life, an unquenchable joy in them and in their worship services. Now, these were not excessive emotions, but sentiments that led to actions. That's how many hospitals and colleges were started. One of the signs of revival is freedom and exuberant joy in the worship services. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The unusual, the impossible happens when the Holy Spirit is welcome in our lives and in a church. Healings, deliverance, creative miracles, resources come, etc. And things that never happened before will happen because of the Holy Spirit. You know, after all, he owns it all. I traveled this weekend to Kentucky, and I had to take connecting flights. And on the way back, it was late, and that flight was delayed. And I started getting a little worried. I thought, okay, Lord, you know all things. You know I need to be at church tomorrow. And I started to pray. And I said, okay, God, I got it. You could delay the next flight. Because I was flying from Lexington to Charlotte. Now, you know that's a huge airport. And I landed in Concourse E, and I had to go to B. Guess what? 2,000 steps, 1 mile. And I get there, and guess what? The plane was delayed. Yes. Because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has a special clock. And then I sat down and I thought, wow, Lord, you delayed this plane just for me. Yes. People don't know it. They have other reasons. But I know that it was for me. I'm saying that when we trust the Holy Spirit, he is faithful. He is faithful. Again, the unusual will happen. It's important to notice now what happened the day after Pentecost. The disciples did not stay in the upper room, you know, basking in the afterglow of such a magnificent event. No, they went out to testify about what they had seen and what they had experienced. There's always a temptation to stay on the mountaintop, just like Peter wanted to do when Jesus was transfigured before them. Right away he said, Jesus, I got it. I could build 3 tents. And we could stay here. You know, they were having a great time. He had just seen the glory of God. He didn't want to come down. And many times we too do that. But Jesus did not agree with his idea. You see, Jesus calls us to go into the world, to testify, and to proclaim the good news. And he tells us to go into Jerusalem, the place where we go to worship, Ponte Vedra Beach, to go into Judea, the place where we go to work, maybe Nocatee or Jacksonville, and then into Samaria, where people live that we don't like. They're different from us. They have an accent. They don't smell good. They maybe have a different color of skin. I don't know. And then he calls us out into the outermost parts of the world. He doesn't call us to stay in the comfort of the sanctuary. You see, churches that do that, they grow inward focus and they lose the salt. In Acts 1:8, he tells the church to go. This is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us. He knew that we, the church, could not accomplish the mission he was entrusting to us without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The day of Pentecost has a connection to an agricultural harvest, and that reminds us that there is a harvest of souls awaiting us. As I said, I went to Kentucky on Thursday, and it was because I was invited to the graduation at the Asbury Seminary. And I want you to look at this picture. They had 374 students graduating. Could you put it back just for a minute? At the seminary. And they have a tradition. The first day of school, I don't know if you could see, there's a cross there in the middle. They put it in the middle of their sanctuary, their chapel. And all those new students coming in, they come and they gather around that cross, and you cannot see it, But then they spread out, making a symbol of a cross. Their first day of school, when they come to the chapel. And then the last day, it's a reminder that they always need to cling to the cross. And then the last day, the day of their graduation, before they go into the world, they're called back to come to that cross and gather there again to remind them to cling onto that cross as they go forward. You could show the rest. I want to tell you that Bishop Pineda was a speaker for the three graduations, and I was a translator. And that's the president of the seminary, Dr. Tennant. But I want to tell you, 374 students graduated from that seminary. They're not all called to be ordained clergies. They will go into ministry into all the world. In different areas, there were 26 countries represented among all those students. Different nations, different languages. And I thought, God, you still have a remnant. You still have a group of people who will trust you and love you. Thank you, Tommy. It is the responsibility, beloved, of every believer to ask the Holy Spirit to lead them to others with whom they can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not just the responsibility of the ordained clergy, as some people believe. It is the responsibility of each believer. The Holy Spirit came to indwell the disciples. He came to infill them. And guess what? He's still doing the same thing today. This place, this sanctuary, is a filling station. All we need to do is come and be filled so that we can go out and refresh others who are thirsty, empty, sick, bound by sin, or are going through life without direction or hope. You see, when we are filled with His presence, other people will not see us, but they will see Christ, the love of Christ in us. As the Apostle Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. Inventive genius Thomas Edison lost his great New Jersey lab in an inferno-like fire on a December 9th at night in 1914. Yet the very next morning, walking among the still smoldering rubble of those buildings that had housed so many of his projects, Edison was then 67 years old. And when he was asked, oh, what are you going to do now? What a terrible loss. Edison answered, there is a great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew. If life's issues have you asking, now what, Lord? Come and receive. Receive a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, and He will enable you to start anew. I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to to show us what is it that we need in our life today. I don't know what you brought in your heart this morning. I don't know if you're weary. I don't know if there's broken areas in your life and in your family, if there's sadness, financial issues. But I'd like for you to invite the Holy Spirit to help you. Again, just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come and fill us, Lord. We stand before you today as empty vessels. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Minister to your people now, Lord. Minister to your people, Lord Jesus. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit.